Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode is being dropped on the 26th day of April, 2021. We're going to be recapping a, let's just be frank and call it a strange, fun, and intense week of baseball. And we will also take a look at the potential progress of what's happening for a stadium that has been promised as long as I've been alive. This show is available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When you're staying at home, as we're rounding third, heading for home, I got my shots. My family's got their shots. We're going to beat this thing, everyone, and eventually we're going to go back to the ballgame, but let's not be dumb. Let's not blow it in the ninth, okay? And if you're home, you got a smart device, tell it to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow this podcast at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So I'm recording this on Sunday morning. We've already had an interesting day that happened on Friday and last night. And we're going to see what happens in the games this evening a little bit later, you know, after they kind of happen. Let's just move along some of the stuff that happened this weekend. I love what happened on Friday evening with the Mets against the Nationals. Jacob DeGrom has been, there's no way a pitcher can go better than Jacob DeGrom has this year. I mean, he's already won two Cy Young Awards, and he arguably could have won last year. I know they gave it to, who will come up later, Bauer. And Bauer was terrific. I'm not going to poo-poo Bauer. But DeGrom has thrown 29 innings, has struck out 50 in those 29 innings, has walked only three. How about that for a strikeout-to-inning ratio, walk-to-strikeout ratio? He's started four games, and his ERA is 0.31. He has done everything, and yet going into Friday, he had a grand total of one win and one loss. If you like to use the win as a metric for how a pitcher is doing, DeGrom was a 500 pitcher. So he kind of said, look, what's the problem with the DeGrom start? It's not DeGrom. It's the fact he doesn't get run support and the fact the bullpen wets the bed. So what did he do? He drove in the first run himself, take that universal DH, and struck out 15 batters and pitched all nine. He said, do you know what? Sometimes you just got to do it yourself. And it was a glorious thing. And the New York Metropolitans rode that coattail. And basically no one else had to show up. Just make sure to catch the balls as they go into play. But not many of them are going to play because I'm going to strike out 15 batters. So there you go. Jacob DeGrom, unbelievable game. One of the games of the year. Yes, I know we've already had two no-hitters. But when someone dominates every aspect of the game like that, I don't know. It is a glorious thing. Jay Happ on Friday night actually took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. Jay Happ has had a very nice career, has been an all-star, a World Series champion. He's now a millionaire many times over. Would someone please, please tell him if he wants to be named Jay Happ, spell it J-A-Y, because I want to call him J-A Happ. And that was a game where a lot of J initials had wonderful games. JT Realmuto had a good game that day for the Philadelphia Phillies. JT Brubaker had a terrific game against J-Hap for the Pirates. But please tell them we have spellings for a reason. Hey, something really kind of annoying is happening if you're a Yankee hater, but if you're a Yankee fan, and if you are a Yankee fan, by all means, listen to Locked On Yankees with Stacy Katsoulias. But the Yankees are starting to win games that they're not supposed to win. Now, as of this recording, the Yankees are still 8-11. I'm sure a lot of people will be disappointed by that. But that being said, they also had a tremendous losing streak where nothing seemed to be going right. And they've had a series of games against the Cleveland Indians where it looked like, you know, nothing was going to go right. They were down 3-0 early on Thursday, 3-0 early on Friday, were in it locked in a pitcher's duel on Saturday. And in each case, the Yankees came out victorious. And when they were on a 5-game losing streak, and now they've won 4 out of their last 5 games. The only one loss they had was the game on Wednesday against Atlanta. And they're going to be playing Cleveland tonight and then are going to go off to Baltimore, the team where you go to pad a resume. I've been saying all year that there's no team that I look at that would be a 100-loss team. As of now, I kind of sort of stand by that. But the fact of the matter is, by the way, I said the Yankees were 8-11. They're actually 9-11. Baltimore is looking pretty horrible. And the Yankees are starting to right the ship. Remember, people were panicking in Yankee land and everything like that. And they are a flawed team. Yes, as is every team in the American League. The key to turning things around is when you start to win games you have no business winning. And Giancarlo Stanton is heating up. He's getting a lot of big hits there. So I think you Yankee fans who were starting to lose your mind a few days ago could maybe ease up on the throttle a little bit, because, you know, it's a long season and the Yankees are going to do just fine. The White Sox had a walk-off win the other day against the Texas Rangers, and the White Sox are heating up. Now, the one thing that is a little disturbing if you're a Chicago White Sox fan is that big acquisition of Liam Hendricks to shore up the end of the bullpen and make up for the loss of Colome, he blew another save, and he's not been very good so far. I know, small sample size, but you're not seeing the great returns of what you were hoping to see from there. That being said, you're starting to see some of the returns from the bats. Moncada the other day, who's got off to a terrible start, got another solid game where he got 3 hits. Hey, let's give him a hand. They're not sure what to do with Andrew Vaughn, my pick to win the American League Rookie of the Year, which so far hasn't looked very good. But let's give a hand to speedster Billy Hamilton, the man who's playing in the wrong era. He's playing in an era that eschews the stolen base. He would have been ideal in the St. Louis Cardinals of the 1980s, where they would steal bases at will. And he brings a little bit of speed, played the outfield yesterday, and guess what? He threw a runner out at home in a key play in the White Sox victory against the Texas Rangers. Let's take a look at some of the other people who are heroes over the weekend. Remember when I said that I was terrified that we were going to lose Fernando Tatis Jr. for the season when he got injured a few weeks ago? We're still in the month he got injured, and I think he's okay. He hit 2 home runs on Friday. He hit 2 home runs on Saturday, taunted Trevor Bauer, which some people say that's Bush League, and say, nah, it's fun. And what's happening is the series that is taking place between Los Angeles and San Diego is chippy, it's intense, and quite frankly, it's what baseball needs. And for everyone who was sick of Red Sox-Yankee rivalry and trying to build that up into something the way it was in the mid-2000s. We are seeing that happening, the blooming of that between Los Angeles and San Diego. And once again, the series is everything that you could hope for. World Series hero Seager got the game-winning hit the other day. But this is good for baseball, including the taunting. If people liked the angriness, the throwing the Zimmer to the ground, the A-Rod Varitek fights, I don't much like the fights and everything like that. I think that's a bunch of BS. But I do like it when two good teams are really good, are locking antlers. You're not sure where a series is going to go when they play each other. And, oh, yeah, they don't like each other. That's actually good for baseball. I like that. And you should, too. And we're going to have a whole season. We got one more game of it tonight. Now, I am going to miss it because I'm watching the Oscars because I'm also an Oscar freak. But I will catch up on it afterwards. You already know what happened at the Oscars. And the main one I'm looking forward to is Best Documentary Feature. My buddy Jim Lebrecht is nominated for an Oscar for Crip Camp. I'm rooting him on. Who else did well? Fernando Tatis Jr. has emerged from his injury and is leading them quite well. Thank you very much. Trout's missed a couple of games. And you know what? Say all you want about the Astros. They've dusted themselves off. And at this point, they've climbed back to 500. And Bregman and company, Bregman and Brantley have been unbelievable. And Kent Emmanuel, a name I never heard of until just a couple of days ago. He was a reliever, and Odorizzi got the first out, and he had to leave the game between Houston and the Angels. And Kent Emmanuel made his big league debut where he threw 8 2/3 innings out of the bullpen. In a game where it looked like, oh my God, we are going to have to blast through our bullpen because of the injury to a starting pitcher, Kent Emmanuel came in and said, no, I got this. And his big league debut led to, he was tremendous. He finished the game. He only allowed 2 runs. And in the end, it was garbage time. It was 16-2. I love that. He almost threw a complete game. Jay Happ took a no-hitter deep into the game the other day and didn't pitch as many innings as Kent Emmanuel did. Now, people say, oh, here's Dusty Baker wearing out someone's arm again. No, there you go. He finished it up. And now the Astros are looking to, go head-to-head for the final game against the Angels, and they're going to throw Lance McCullers Jr. You don't know what you're going to get out of Lance McCullers Jr. You don't. He's not off to a great start. You don't know if it's going to be up and down. And now you've got the full bullpen. You've got a full, rested and ready bullpen. Kent Emmanuel, that's how you make a debut, folks. Other news around baseball. Look, at the Royals are still in first place with a negative run differential, but they're still in first and giving their fans something to at least be happy about at this point in the season. Hey, let's talk about another team that people can be happy about if you're a fan, and that's the Pittsburgh Pirates. Yeah, they're sub 500, but they're 10-11. They're within striking distance. I mean, if they win today against Minnesota, they'll be a 500 team. Not that they should be queuing a parade right there, but it was, Cahill got the victory the other day against the Twins, who were off to a rocky start. But, the Pirates are bad, and everyone thought this was a 100-loss team, including your pal Sully, and they could very well be a 100-loss team. But maybe they'll be slightly better. Maybe they'll be bad instead of terrible. Bad is better than terrible. And how do you get to be a good championship team? You have to make improvements. And if you improve from terrible to bad, or maybe bad to mediocre, mediocre is better than terrible. And maybe above mediocre, you get to pretty good. I mean, these are the mountains the Pirates have to climb. And if nothing else, they're showing their fans, hey, if you show up to a Pirate game, we're not going to roll over. We're not rolling over and playing dead. Now, I have to address the series that has caused an existential crisis in my life. The Red Sox and the Seattle Mariners It has been a weird series for me because I do want both teams to succeed. And the Red Sox won on Friday. And then on Saturday, the Mariners clobbered Nathan Eovaldi and took an 8-2 victory. And in all of the games, I started feeling, for the lack of a better word, equanimity. I was starting to feel balanced. I was fine with either result. I was not rooting against either team. I knew that no matter what happened at the end of the day, the Red Sox would be in first and the Mariners would be within striking distance of first. And so I felt maybe a sense of calm, maybe a sense of, well, this was not me reenacting movie Sophie's Choice. This was just basically, I have two teams that I have a rooting interest in, and that's fine. That's okay. You can do that. There are no laws against it. And eventually, I'd be happy if either one of them got a ring. And if they're going to get a ring, then they should go check out 1010. You know, this episode is brought to you by 1010. It's a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price point. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative types of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy in that special person's life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into that person's life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. The collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced so you can give them something special and meaningful. If you're on the hunt for a perfect, unique ring that they will treasure forever, you're going to go want to check this out. They're not going to be around for long. So find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. That's a surefire bet that anyone you get a 10x10 ring for is going to love it. And if you're going to make bets, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA, you got the Stanley Cup Finals, they're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers the awards. And I may throw a bet for the Oscars. Go Jim Labrecht! TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local expert and the Draft Network's national expert. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft, April 29th through May 1st. Hey, for those of you wondering why I didn't mention the A's in that recap of what was happening, I'm talking about the A's this segment. Now, the A's haven't lost since they stunk. Remember how they stunk at the beginning of the year and people wondering, oh my God, is this the year where the A's are going to finally just absolutely collapse and maybe Billy Bean is going to leave and everything like that? They got off to the worst start in franchise history, and this is a franchise that has had some horrible teams, whether they play in Philadelphia, Kansas City, or Oakland. Well, they're on a 13-game winning streak. Jed Lowry went swimming in the pool from Cocoon, and he's rejuvenated himself. Nice up-to-date reference there, Sully. And with that goofy Great Gazoo Little League helmet, he's been getting big hit after big hit. And after winning that wild, totally bananas game against Minnesota, they've gone to Baltimore to do exactly what you're supposed to do in Baltimore, and that is feast. There's no famine in Baltimore. There is nothing but feast. I mean, take a look at what happened the other day. I mean, you had a home run by Lowry, And the A's were up 4-0 before anyone could get their crab cakes in Baltimore. Final score was 7-2, and quite frankly, it wasn't that close. And now the A's are on a 13-game winning streak. 13 games. And they're playing today. If they lose today, you go into anyone's place. I don't care who you go into. You go to anyone's home, and you only lose one game in a road series. There you go. If they win today, now they could. You already know if they won today, but they are going to start playing in just a couple of hours. Lizardo against Means. That's actually a really good matchup for Baltimore because Lizardo has not looked that great, and Means has been very, very good for Baltimore. That being said, nothing the A's have done recently has gone wrong. Then they're going to Tampa. Tampa on Monday. That's, a tough series. Obviously, the Rays are the defending American League champions, and the Rays are starting to right their ship as they're inching closer to the Red Sox. But this has been fantastic. Now, of course, the A's, and the Rays for that matter, have the lingering problem that is preventing baseball from doing expansion. The one thing baseball needs to get done and check off their list before they can expand, and they need to expand by at least two teams. That way you can even out the leagues. You can figure out what we're doing about universal DH, non-universal DH, create a schedule that doesn't have interleague games. All these things you could do. This is the longest we've gone without an expansion. But you can't do it as long as the stadium issues in Oakland and Tampa Bay are sitting around and the possibility of moving a team is still sitting there. Now, two things in full disclosure. I lived in the Bay Area for a long time. I have a tremendously soft spot in my heart for the Oakland A's. I am friends with many, many Oakland A's fans. The fans in Oakland are fantastic. They don't show up in droves. Same with the fans in Tampa Bay. The fans who love the Rays are fantastic. The fans who love the A's are tremendous. Just because they're not the most in volume, it's intense when you go to an A's game because they love their team. And I want to see the A's succeed. I also think it was a mistake for Charlie Finley to move the A's there to begin with. They should have either stayed in Kansas City, where they would have eventually have gotten what became Kauffman Stadium, or moved to one of the other places where there wasn't a team, like Dallas, like San Diego, like Seattle. For a while, it was Atlanta. I don't know if the Bay Area is realistically a two-team market. I lived there for a long time. And a lot of times you see the fair weather fandom lean one way or the other. It's why they had trouble sustaining two football teams. And believe me, the popularity of the Raiders was more than that of the A's. And the place is Giants crazy right now. And has been for the last few decades, even though the A's many years actually put together a better product during the regular season. Yes, I know the Giants won 3 World Series recently, but that's one of the things that capture them. I do want to see the A's stay in Oakland because I like having a sports team in Oakland. They've already lost the Warriors and then lost the Raiders. That being said, and I also am fervently against moving teams, because I think that the fan bases shouldn't have that ripped from their heart. Again, that being said, they got to do something about the stadium. To me, I always felt when I started seeing all these, we got to look at this place, we got to look at this place, go to Mills College, look at Howard's Terminal. I said, why not just build in the Coliseum parking lot? There's enough room to build a stadium there anyway. Knock down the Coliseum. If you can knock down Yankee Stadium, if you can knock down the Orange Bowl, if you can knock down all these other places, you could knock down freaking the Oakland Coliseum and build a ballpark right there and have it be the Epcot Center of ballparks, where you're constantly experimenting with things and make the experience of watching a game live interesting. But no one listens to your pal Sully in that. Now, I have been seeing artist renderings for a new stadium for the Oakland A's for the last 20 years. And some of them have been gorgeous. Downtown Oakland, sometimes moving to Fremont, sometimes moving to San Jose, moving them all over like a shell game around the East Bay and the South Bay. I thought for a while, fine, put him in San Jose. Maybe that's the place to put him. There's certainly enough room in San Jose, but the Giants own the rights there. Okay, work something out. That's why they're talking about Fremont, which is as close as they could get to San Jose without actually puncturing Santa Clara County. All this nonsense going around when they just should build it in the parking lot. But now, the other day, Dave Cavill asked the Oakland City Council for a vote on Howard Terminal. The project will be $12 billion and $1 billion privately funded to build a 35,000-seat ballpark in Howard Terminal. Now, evidently, the ballpark is supposedly privately funded. I don't believe public money should be used to build a baseball stadium. It's not a public park. It's not a public utility. And believe me, as someone who works as a public school teacher, that's what your pal Sully does when I'm not yapping about baseball, I would rather see funds allocated to schools, to infrastructure, to fire departments, to medical needs. There's a lot of things, a community that Oakland, who has had some serious municipal problems over the years, and that's made big time cutbacks on a lot of services, to then suddenly turn over the couch cushion and find a few billion dollars for the A's. No. There's so much money flowing in Silicon Valley and in Northern California. There's so many companies that say, hey, that's a nice little app you have that tells you when to shave. We'll give you $5 quintillion to develop it. There's money floating around there that you can build this up. So I'm glad that the ballpark aspect of it is privately funded. Now, supposedly there are community benefits, including building up infrastructure, public money for infrastructure. I have no problem with public money for infrastructure. And apparently there is going to be money allocated to things like affordable housing and retail space. Don't know what we need to do about retail space. Haven't we learned in the last bunch of, you know, months that building stores may not always be the smartest thing to do in this world? But they're going to move forward. They're going to put it to a vote, supposedly. And we're going to see. We're going to see how it happens. The artist renderings are beautiful. But then again, it's easy to draw something beautiful. To actually make it work at Howard Terminal, is this going to be this boon of restaurants and affordable housing and stores and permanent jobs and solid infrastructure while private money builds the ballpark, including this beautiful grassy area in center field, kind of reminiscent to what they have in San Diego? And I like the fact that the rendering of the ballpark is not creating this some sort of old-fashioned baby boomer ballpark like they have in Houston, but it is something that will feel modern and new. Great. The A's have been looking for a stadium since they arrived. Charlie Finley tried to move them to, at one point he was talking about moving them to New Orleans as they were winning the World Series in Oakland. They nearly moved to Denver. As long as I've been alive, they've been trying to move from Oakland. As long as I've been breathing in oxygen and breathing out carbon dioxide, the A's have been struggling to find a stadium. And they've now been in Oakland as long as they were in Philadelphia. This is the longest. Once they play next year, Oakland will be its longest home in terms of its duration. So it's not like they're new there. And it's not like this is a new problem. And while I don't want to move a team, they can't play in the Coliseum anymore. And if this doesn't work, and if for some reason they don't want to build a stadium there, then they have to look at other options. And I'm going to go on a similar rant with Tampa Bay. I want a team in Tampa Bay. I do. Much like I have a soft spot in my heart for the A's. If I never lived in the Bay Area, I could probably be sitting back coldly saying, like, move them. It doesn't work. We've tried it. How many more decades do we have to figure this out? But I do ask, how many more decades does this have to kick around? So let's put this to a vote or make a decision. I like private money being spent on ballparks. That's what they did in San Francisco. That's what they did with the new Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. but let's make a decision and let's make it pretty soon, because right now this is getting a little bit strange. You know what? This is taking a lot out of me. I need a little bit of energy. I'm going to grab myself a Built Bar, because Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars ever. They've got delicious flavors, whether you like caramel brownie, whether you like carrot cake. I love raspberry. You can also get mint brownie, banana bread. There's so many great ones. I'm going to get my new box coming in soon. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew, but they're great if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose or maintain weight, if you're on the keto diet. They're low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Let's check out one of the flavors. Cookies and cream has 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carb. Get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 50% off at BuiltBar.com. The Ultimate Mock Draft presented by Locked On and Odyssey has happened. It features analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaCofora, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts from every team making trades and picking the next stars for their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Okay, what the heck do we do with this whole Madison Bumgarner thing? I mean, this is just weird. I mean, Zach Galen throws the front end of a doubleheader and keeps the Braves without a hit into the sixth. Okay. Very next game, Madison Bumgarner throws all seven innings and doesn't allow a hit. So, yes, the Braves got one hit in 14 innings. So, not great batsmanship there, Braves, but do we call it a no-hitter? I mean, he could not have done more. That was all the innings he was allowed to throw. Either way, it is a good sign for the Diamondbacks, who are at even 500, that Bumgarner's last couple of games have been pretty good. That's like trading a bad starter for a good starter. Taking a look around at some of the stuff that was happening in baseball, the Giants won again, 4-3. The What Do I Do With My Soul series between the Mariners and the Red Sox is finally over, and the Red Sox wound up being the victors in that. And basically, I can move on with my life and continue to hope that both of the teams win, as they're both doing quite well, thank you very much. The A's winning streak ended somewhat convincingly. Means pitched great, and it was a 8-1 victory for Baltimore. Hey, you can't go wrong with a 13-game winning streak. The Rays fall to 500 as they lose 1-0 to Toronto. The Indians finally got a big hit in their come-from-behind 7-3 win over the Yankees. The Royals, all they do is win. Danny Duffy pitched well today against the Tigers. The Mets shut out the Nats. Walker pitched well. The Mets remain in first place. The White Sox bats are alive and well, thank you very much, 8-4. Shohei Ohtani can hit. And the Angels dusted off the Astros with a come-from-behind 4-2 win. The Brewers stay in first place, 6-0. Woodruff is great again. Arrieta, not so great. And the Cubs fall to below 500. And I'm telling you, if they fall further, the sale will begin. It was a Coors Field kind of day on one end as the Rockies scored 2. But John Gray held the Phillies to a 12-2 victory. Gray is inevitably going to be dealt. The Cardinals climbed above 500, beat the absolute in total free fall Reds. Cardinals starting pitching is really starting to turn around. And hey, talk about the turnaround. The Pirates, they defeated the Twins 6-2. They're a 500 team. They are a 500 team. The Nationals are not a 500 team. The Braves are not a 500 team. Who else is not a 500 team? The Cubs are not a 500 team. The Phillies are not a 500 team. The Yankees are not a 500 team. The Twins are not a 500 team. Does that mean the Pirates are better than all those teams? Yes, that's exactly what it means. Well, before we wrap up the show, I'm going to find out what's going to happen between the Padres and the Dodgers, but I'm also, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to watch the Oscars. Let me tell you something. I should have watched the Padres-Dodger game instead of the Oscars. The Oscars were an absolute mess. And the Padres-Dodgers game, I'm just catching up on the highlights. Holy cow, what an insane game. When I saw it was 7-1, I said, all right, I'm going to watch the rest of the Oscars. Oscars were over, and I said, wait, the Padres won that game? The Dodgers and the Padres are not going to play a normal game all year. And it is a glorious thing. It is a fantastic thing. And I can't believe they didn't give the Oscar to Chadwick Boseman. And no offense to Anthony Hopkins. He's already won an Oscar, and he wasn't even there. But, oh my God. Dodgers, Padres, this is going to be fantastic. Think about how many great games we've already had in that series. And we're not even in May yet. We're not even in May. And a lot of weird, wild, wonderful things have happened this weekend. And unfortunately, none of them happened at the Academy Awards. But one last thing to remember right here and right now. Are you a Mets fan? Just remember, the magic number for the Mets to clinch the National League East is 143. So go to the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening. This has been Locked On MLB for the 26th day of April 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.